Have you ever been in your dorm room or even at home and thought, man, I have no clue what I'm gonna eat today, but boy, am I broke. Well, I can safely say that you are not alone. My first week of college, I ate out at a restaurant every single night. And while that definitely satisfied my hunger, my wallet felt a lot lighter by the time the week was done. I knew that wasn't gonna fly for the rest of the semester, so the next week I ate in my dorm room for every meal. Like many other students, I stuck with the classic cup of ramen and pizza rolls to get me through. I saved a lot more money, but the food just became so bland and boring. If I couldn't find better things to make in my dorm room, I knew I'd be right back to eating out in no time, which would cause me to spend all of my money and the cycle would repeat. So, how do we get the perfect balance between cheap and satisfying? That is the question we'll be answering today on Life on College Hill. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Lyles, and you're listening to Life on College Hill, the podcast where we inform and entertain community members here at Rogers State University. In this episode, we will be tackling the difficult question that every college student faces. How do I enjoy my meals throughout the school year while living on a college budget? College can be difficult for many of us. It's those small things, like a good meal, that can really improve our time here. With the stress and pressure of classes, what you are going to eat for the day might not be your first priority, but it is so important that you get your meals in for the day. Besides, if you don't have a decent breakfast and lunch, there's a pretty good chance that your stomach is going to be rumbling embarrassingly loud during class. But don't worry, because this podcast is going to help all of you fellow Hillcats find ways to satisfy your hunger on a budget. I've taken the time to research some cost-friendly, creative concoctions to spice up any dorm room meal, from breakfast to dinner, and even dessert. Throughout this episode, we are going to talk about ways to save money on food while living the college life. We're also going to discuss creative meals that college students have made in their dorm room. And stay tuned, because I'll even be eating and reviewing some of the most interesting and weirdest meals college students have made just for your entertainment. The best way to save money in college is by avoiding eating out as much as possible. But a trip to the grocery store can become pretty pricey pretty quickly if you don't know what to get. I've spent the past few months this semester searching for cheap grocery store foods and have compiled a strong lineup. If you're interested, get out your phone and write these down in your notes app for later. I promise if you try these out, you'll save a hefty amount of money throughout the school year. First on the list, I have 99-cent great value personal pizzas from Walmart. They have a few different types of pizza to choose from, including cheese and pepperoni. Is this the best thing I've ever eaten in my life? No. But for 99 cents, I would give it a 10 out of 10. Next up, also coming from Walmart, we have the brand Smart Ones with their Southwestern rice and beans. This meal is just over $2, which is an incredible deal. I tried this one out a few weeks back, and it's been one of my go-to dinners ever since, especially because it's a bit healthier compared to some of the other cheap meals you can find out there. I love myself some Mexican food almost as much as I love saving money, so I would give this meal a 10 out of 10 as well. Next on the list, I have Chef Boyardee products. I had Chef Boyardee as a kid all the time, but as I got older, I had it less and less and eventually forgot about it. I hope some of you listening will remember their iconic commercials with the Chef Boyardee can rolling all the way from the store to the family's house. They really killed it in the marketing department. Anyways, they have a variety of pastas, including ravioli, spaghetti, and mac and cheese. Their cans are about $1 a piece, which makes for another great deal. The only downside is that it's one of the messier meals to clean up when you're done, so I would rate this one an 8 out of 10. Lastly, we have the Or Ida 99-cent box of fries. I've seen this one at Walmart as well as Casey's General Store. They're great and super quick to make. If you don't have a huge appetite, they are perfect for a small meal. But if you want something bigger, I'd say they're more of a side that could go with a sandwich or even another meal I've mentioned before this. The box of fries is probably a 7 out of 10 in the microwave, but I've come across something else that takes microwavable foods to the next level. It's seriously been my holy grail and an absolute lifesaver for me when it comes to dorm room cooking. And I know what you're thinking. Elizabeth, what on earth could be better than a quick and simple microwave? Well, now that I've done my best to build up some anticipation, let me tell you. My go-to game-changing cooking appliance is an air fryer. A friend of mine here at RSU opened my eyes to the wonders that an air fryer could bestow upon my life. I got the opportunity to talk to him about how he enhances his meals here on campus with an air fryer.
My name is Caleb, and I have been living on the dorms at RSU for about 3 years now. So fun thing is, I actually won this air fryer from a school event. We did a bingo night, and I won second place in that, and so I got to win the air fryer. So also, if you're at RSU, you should be involved on campus because you can win cool stuff like air fryers. But I've had it for about a year and a half now. Yeah, it saved me a lot of money. I think that, you know, once you start to live on campus long enough, you kind of get tired of the food here. This is no, you know, knock against the on-campus food because it's great. But, like, it's just, it gets difficult having the same kind of food every single day. And so having the freedom to be able to make your own food in the dorm definitely helps out a lot. And if you're living in anything that's not the four-bedroom apartments, all you have is a microwave. So the ability to have an air fryer and be able to make fried foods and, you know, be able to reheat leftovers, which is a life hack that I've learned. Like if you get some chicken or something or fries, if you throw it in the air fryer, it's a lot better reheated than just the microwave. So I think it's definitely added a lot of versatility for eating here on campus.
Caleb has found many different foods that are great to make in the air fryer. He graciously shared a few of his favorites with me so that I could share them with you.
One of the main ones that I kind of, it's super cheap and I do all the time, is fried cookie dough. I would call them like air fryer cookies, but they're not really cookies. They're just kind of, they're very gooey. So if you like gooey cookies, it's like perfect for you. And it's still cooked enough where you won't get salmonella. So, and it's so easy too. You just, all you do is you buy a thing of cookie dough, you kind of rip it off into little balls and just throw them in there for like 3 or 4 minutes at like 350, 360 degrees. It's just, it's so good. My favorite part about it is if you get some ice cream and top it with some, you know, cookies and cream ice cream or whatever your favorite ice cream is, it's so good. I've actually got my parents onto the air fryer train as well because I showed them these french fries that I made and they're so good and they take so much less time than a stove. Or I guess it's an oven, not really a stove, but it's so quicker than a oven, and it's I think it's better in my opinion. It gets a better texture and better taste to it. And I mean, ultimately, if you don't know about air fryer, it's literally just kind of simulates having an actual oil fryer. And so anything that you can make in an oil fryer, you can make in an air fryer. And there's also more because it's kind of a hybrid between a microwave and an oil fryer. And so you get the benefits of both.
There are so many different foods that can be made in the air fryer. Honestly, a whole podcast could be made just on that. But we have other things to discuss. So in short, an air fryer is a great investment that I highly recommend for any college student trying to save money on food. Now, as much as I love my air fryer, I still get the urge every once in a while to eat some fast food. And you know what? Us college students should be able to treat ourselves to a meal without worrying too much about if we're going to have the money for it. I want to take some time to talk about different fast food restaurants that give some great deals. From what I've learned, the best way to get deals is through apps. For example, with the Sonic app, they have half-priced drinks every day. They also have deals for their food that change pretty frequently. Another app that I use a lot is the Starbucks app. After ordering on there a few times, I got a deal for a free drink or bakery item. Another fast food restaurant in town that gives out some great deals through their app is Burger King. As I'm making this, they have a deal going on for a free medium fry with any purchase above $1. Almost any place that you can think of will have an app or website that gives exclusive offers. If you want something a bit healthier, Chick-fil-A is another place that gives some good deals through their rewards that can be used on healthier items like salad and grilled chicken. I actually want to dedicate a bit of this episode to eating healthy in college. It's definitely quite a bit harder to do on a budget, but many college students have found a way to accomplish it. I actually got an opportunity to talk to my good friend Ben about eating healthy while saving money in college.
Well, hi, my name's Ben Therrington. I am a ORU graduate. I lived in the dorm there for 3 years. I started going there in August of 2018, and then I think it was around April, May-ish. It was kind of near the end of my first year there. I had lost a total of 40 pounds.
I really wanted to get a good idea of his day-to-day food routine, from what he kept in his dorm to what was available to him on campus.
Me personally, I actually didn't keep any food in the dorm. While I was living at ORU, I primarily would eat at Chick-fil-A and Moe's that we had on campus. The Chick-fil-A, whenever I would go there, I would usually get, they had grilled chicken. And so I would usually get that. And then whenever I would go to Moe's, I would like to get a bowl. Typically, so I would be at ORU during the week. I would go home on the weekends. So since I only did do 2 meals a day, it was a lot easier to save money. Usually every day for lunch, I would either do Chick-fil-A or Moe's. It would kind of, I would go between those two. Dinners would usually, 2 nights a week, I would go to the cafeteria. The other 2 nights, I would try to get like some cheap fast food.
I hope that helps some of you looking to live a healthier lifestyle in college get an idea of how to go about it. Everyone has a unique journey in college and can go about eating in whatever way they please. Ben's experience is just one of many throughout college students in the Tulsa area. We've finally made it to the part of the episode I'm most excited for. I'm going to take some unique meals that I found on the internet and make them in my dorm room. They're cheap meals that use very few ingredients for your convenience. After making them, I will be joined by 2 fellow college students in tasting and reviewing the food. Hopefully, through this segment, we can find a few tasty meals that you can start making yourself. Let's introduce our taste testers and get to eating.
Hello, my name is Caden. I'm currently going to Rogers State University in Claremore, Oklahoma as a senior, and I'm ready to find my next college budget food.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I am currently a senior at Jenks High School, and I'm going to OSU in the fall. So I'm excited to try some new cheap college foods.
The first meal we're going to be making today is a peanut butter, pickle, and chips sandwich. The ingredients that you're going to need are bread, white or wheat will work, peanut butter, dill pickle chips, and any type of regular potato chip. The instructions for this one are insanely simple. All you have to do is get your bread, coat one side of the slice of bread in peanut butter, add as many pickles as you would like, I would recommend about 4, and then throw on a small handful of potato chips. Top it off with another piece of bread, and there you have it, a perfect peanut butter, pickle, and chips sandwich. Let's get cooking. All right, we've got our first meal ready here for us to try. How are you guys feeling?
Funny enough, I actually have some history with this combination. I worked at a snow cone shack back in the day, and I tried a peanut butter pickle snow cone, and I haven't had a sugary snow cone since.
Was it just that bad?
It was atrocious.
Lauren, how are you feeling?
I was scared before Caden told that little story, and now I'm even more scared, because I don't like pickles in the first place, but we'll survive.
We're going to try this sandwich out for you guys and give you our review. Okay. Starting off with my reaction, not the worst thing I've ever had in my life. A lonely night at 2 a.m. in my dorm room, this might be an option. How do you feel about it?
Funny enough, pretty good. The texture is there, A, and then B. I actually ate a pickle off the concrete one time.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't great. If you like pickles, it would be better.
I'm going to give it my official rating is a 5 out of 10, probably right down the middle for just something creative to make by yourself. Lauren, what's your rating?
I would give it a 4 out of 10, lower just because I don't like pickles. I would recommend it if you were really struggling and didn't have any money. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever eaten. It definitely wasn't the best, though.
I mean, it's not 5-star Michelin, but I will say you did a good job with the ratio of peanut butter, pickle, chip to bread.
Thank you so much.
So I would say if you don't mind weird textures in your mouth, give it a shot.
So 1 out of 10, what do you give it?
I give it a good like 6.57.
Test your luck with this one, guys. That was our first meal.
Next in our lineup is ramen pizza. All you will need for this meal is a microwavable pack of ramen, marinara sauce, and shredded mozzarella cheese. Use the instructions on the ramen container to cook it in your microwave. Once that's finished, add about 4 spoonfuls of marinara to the ramen. Finally, sprinkle as much shredded mozzarella on top as you would like. If you feel like it, you can add pepperoni or any other topping you desire, and you're all done. Let's get cooking.
Now, before I made this, I was terrified. I thought it was gonna be the most disgusting thing ever. But now that I'm looking at it, I don't think it looks too bad. What do you think?
I will say the cheese is appealing, but I'm a little scared with the mixture that's happening between the pasta sauce and the chicken flavored ramen.
I would say it's less of a pizza and more of a pasta, what I'm getting. I do think Lauren's on to something when she says, like, the cheese is very reminiscent of the noodles. So it's just going to be a swampy mass of just wet noodles. And again, chicken flavored? Mamma mia.
Well, okay, I did limit the amount of the powder that I put in there. Like, I didn't put the whole packet of chicken powder in there. I limited it a little bit to, you know, not overwhelm us with just chicken.
Well, I mean, we could be on a diet. It could be like the lean version of ramen pizza.
Yes, the ramen pizza is our diet portion. Let's try it. Okay. Something about the texture.
I agree, like 100%. I never agreed with someone more in my life. The texture is swampy, wet. It was such a weird glob of just wetness that I was afraid it would slip out of my mouth. It was so wet. It would just slide out of my mouth. I guess slip and slide.
It's like bad spaghetti, I think. Weird textured spaghetti, probably. It was interesting.
I will say, after I made this, we sat around for a little while talking, so maybe fresh would be a little bit better, but I honestly doubt it. And the texture's still gonna be mush.
Either way, I will not try it again. Thank you.
I rate that one a 3.5 out of 10, just because the flavor wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't unbearable or anything. It was just, I'm texture sensitive. That was a horrible texture.
I agree. I'm also going to rate it a 3.5 because this might not make sense, but it was like humid in your mouth and greasy. The taste wasn't bad, but the texture was not good. It was wet.
I know I said I agree with you 100%, but that saying it's humid in your mouth is 100% correct. Literally, I felt like a steam building in my mouth.
Even though it was only lukewarm.
Even though it was only lukewarm. The moisture was so weird. 3 out of 10. Not good. I can see why Gordon Ramsay could be mad at this.
And so overall, this got about a 3.3 out of 10.
Coming up next, we have chocolate-covered potato chips. This is a simple 2-ingredient recipe that you can probably figure out just by the name. Yep, chocolate and potato chips. Get about 6 to 8 mini Hershey bars and melt them in the microwave. Then, just dip as many potato chips in the chocolate as you want and lay the chips on a plate when they're covered. Stick the chips in the fridge for about 30 minutes and you have yourself some chocolate-covered potato chips. Let's get cooking!
I'm pretty excited for these personally. How are you feeling about them, Lauren?
I'm feeling really good. I've never had these before, and I'm very excited. I usually have a pretty big sweet tooth. Kanan, how are you feeling?
I'm skeptical, because I bet this took a lot of background work, but if it's worth it, it could be good.
All right, let's give them a try. Literally yum.
That is just chocolate.
Yeah, okay. Guys, first thought, I can't even taste the chip. All I taste is chocolate.
I think that it depends on how covered in chocolate the chip is, because if you get to one of the less covered spots, you can taste a little bit of the salt more, but mostly it's just chocolate.
The weird part is, like, how much chocolate do you have in your pantry to make this? That's the big concern.
I just went to the store and I bought a 12-pack of Hershey chocolate bars, the mini ones. Thank you very much. How many do you have in your dorm room?
One, probably behind my bookshelf.
My score of this one is probably a 7.5 out of 10. It's basically the same as just eating a regular Hershey bar. Like, it didn't taste like anything new or crazy. Maybe I put too much chocolate on there, but that's my rating. Kanan, what do you give it?
I'm gonna give it 7.5 as well, because it's a lot of hassle to make, and it's not like you're improving the chocolate. You're only getting an extra texture.
I will say, I was the one here for the making process, and it was quite easy. You just have to put the chocolate into the bowl, microwave it for a few minutes, dip the chips in them, put them in the fridge for 30 minutes, done.
And I appreciate dinner on the house.
Lauren, what's your score?
I'm actually gonna give it an 8 out of 10. I would do a lot of things for chocolate, so I don't mind the hassle in making it, even if it is just cleaning up the bowl, but I thought it was really good.
All right, I would say that we all recommend it if you want to have a little fun and get a little crazy on a Tuesday night.
Last, we have our dessert, Oreo cake in a mug. This recipe is only going to need two ingredients, Oreos and milk. To start, get any mug or cup that is microwavable safe. Fill it with about 1/4 to 1/2 cup of milk. Next, toss about 6 Oreos in the mug and mush it together with a fork until it's all blended together. Lastly, heat it in the microwave for 1 minute and you're all set. Let's get cooking.
The consistency didn't turn out quite right. It's way too mushy.
It's just like college. You don't know what to do when you mess up, so you make things work.
You work with what you got. That's the whole point of this podcast, working with what we have. This was a last minute thing. Just found what I had in my cabinets. And you know, we're gonna see if it works. This is all about trial and error here.
I think it is gonna be good. I usually like Oreo flavored things and I love graham crackers, so I'm excited.
I have higher hopes for this, so let's try it. It's good. I would probably rather just have an Oreo myself, but again, this is to kind of spice up the normal. So if you have some Oreos and some milk, this is pretty good though. Like, if I wanted something other than just regular Oreos, I would go for this.
It does just taste like an Oreo, so it's pretty good.
Make sure the dip is lightweight enough so you don't feel like you're chewing gum.
I think it's really good.
This one turned out really well, which, as I expected, the other ones were a little bit crazier. But that's all the meals we have for you.
I hope this episode gave you some ideas on how to save money on food while still eating like the royalty you are. If you go to RSU and happen to give one of these meals that were mentioned or of you to try, let me know what you thought if you see me around campus. Wow, this episode really made me crave some Burger King. I think I'm gonna head on out and go get myself some. But before I do, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Life on College Hill. All right, later everyone.
Season 1 of Life on College Hill was recorded, written, and edited by students in the podcast production class, part of the Department of Communications at Rogers State University. This podcast is part of the RSU Radio Podcast Network. Visit rsuradio.com for more.